Okay, we are on page 289, if you have the booklet, Heavenly Places. It's, of course, for today, October 9th, and it's titled Helping One Another. And it starts with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, which is, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." And then she says, "I wish we could have a pledge in our hearts that we would not utter any one word against a brother or a sister." Now, again, like I was saying, part of the praise tonight in regards to, let's see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, here it is. And she says this in Historical Sketches, page 155, so I guess I won't have to share it again later. But it says this in paragraph 3. "We may be followed with testimony after testimony of reproof. But if we do not overcome the disposition in us to do evil," which is like, you know, the finger pointing or saying a bad word like she's talking about here, "if we do not respond to the light, we shall be in a state of condemnation before God." Now, we are the remnant of her seed, so we're striving out of that perfection. So this kind of stuff cuts to the heart. It goes on, it says, "If, on the other hand, we live up to all the light that shines upon us, that light will continue to increase." That part right there is just beams off the page. That's, you know, something that we all want, you know. It's like, oh, you want to run towards that because that's what we want. The light will continue to increase. And then she says, "And we shall have a clean record in heaven." Now, here's really, really neat what she says here. This is the last sentence. It says, "The third angel's message is to lighten the earth with its glory. But only those who have withstood temptation in the strength of the Mighty One," capital M, capital O, you know who that is, right? "with the strength of the Mighty One, will be permitted to act a part in proclaiming it when it shall have swelled into the loud cry." Perfect timing to hear something like that, huh? Because a loud cry has already started. We know that, but it's getting louder and louder and louder. The latter rain's already started pouring, but it's just drizzling. But this is the kind of stuff that those of us that strive on to that perfection like to hear, and we want to get to a point where, like she says here in Heavenly Places, that she wishes we could have a pledge in our hearts that we would not utter any one word against a brother or a sister. Even if they come against us in the church family, and we, myself included, have a tendency to want to, you know, well, it's one thing to defend yourself. It's another thing to defend yourself while dragging somebody through the dirt. They said this. They said that. That's untrue. That's untrue. That's all you got to really say. Let everybody else put the pieces of the puzzle back together in regards to, okay, well, if they said that and it's not true, then that means they're liars. We don't have to repeat that, though. It's just obvious. So, she goes on to say that, "Remember that they also are tempted. It may be more strongly than you. Those who are really the most erring are in the greatest need of your help. Do not gossip about them and make remarks about their character, but go to them in the love of Jesus and in the love of the truth and try to help them." Now, yes, we all do this. We all understand the theology behind Matthew 18. Gospel order is gospel order. You got to do it. And we also know that more than 50% of the time, they don't like it when you come to them in the love of Jesus. And it's not because of you. It's because of what you speak. And it's because of how you walk. You know, because that's the main crux of it. They don't like the idea that you can do what you can't, what they can't do. And so they look at you as if you're slamming them just because you can walk in Christ the way they can't. It's their own fault. They're always going to be their own worst enemy. But they'll use you as the reason because you can do it and they can't, kind of a thing. It's the jealousy factor. I mean, the devil figures out a way to get it in there some way, somehow. And usually it's an envy thing. And so the main thing that'll come to mind, especially when it comes to certain classes of sinful people, you know, everything from the homosexual to the drunk, they'll look at you as you're judging them. You're slamming them. You think you're better than they are. And no, we're actually trying to help you. But this is the way they're going to see it. And so you got to have that in the back of your mind. This is how they're going to see you. So since they're going to see you that way anyway, sugarcoat every word you got. You got to do it. You got to be as gentle and loving as Jesus Christ. And even if they smack you upside the head, turn your cheek, just like Jesus said and did. So she goes on, when you are troubled with doubts and darkness compasses your soul or your own soul, the very best course you can pursue to get out of this darkness is to help someone else who is discouraged. And that's always, I don't know how many times over the years that I have been down with the clouds all around. As a matter of fact, that's one of my praises tonight. All these clouds and all the, you know how Sister White gets into that dark, deep, you know, it's just annoying cloud from Satan, and the good angels are wafting it away. I'll get on the phone, and emails is one thing, but talking back and forth to somebody on the phone and sharing with them what the Lord would have me share, it brings my spirits up. I mean, it just gets me going. It blesses you. And she says, as you try to lift others up, behold, you lift up yourself into close connection with God. As you show kindness to others, you will help yourself, for the same will be reflected back upon you. And I've said this before, and I got to say it again, because we all know how the Holy Spirit will just grab hold of your tongue and just let it fly, just like the devil will do, right? The devil's going to mimic God as well. And so a lot of people out there will say things that they're moved by the demon in them. Well, we're moved by the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. And there's been times, and I remember one time with a couple that used to be part of our number many years ago, and I was sharing with them because they had some issues in some areas, and we were walking, you know, helping them, and everything was going well. And the conversation went back and forth, and they thanked me at the end of it, saying they needed to hear that. And I says, you know, this may be a bit of a shock to you, but I needed to hear it too. And they were a little confused. And I says, well, how's that possible? You're the one that said it. He says, yeah, I understand I said it, but the Spirit, I like to let the Spirit move. This is why some of my, you know, what I like the most about some of my sermons and studies is, you know, just letting the Spirit move. And sometimes He'll allow things to come to mind and it'll be spoken. And it's like John 14:26. I haven't heard those verses in a while, and I haven't put them in that context before in a while because I haven't come across a person like you that needed to hear this, which on the other toss of the coin is I needed to hear it too because something similar was happening to me. And so, yes, I could see this happening easily, what she's saying here, because we've all witnessed this, I'm sure. And that's just part of being a Christian. And she says, the man who has the most of Christ in the soul will manifest the tenderest sympathy for the souls who need help. And so all of us need work there, myself included. And, you know, we all need a lot of work there. But praise God for His long suffering. I got to tell you, if He came today, I know I'd be in a heap of trouble, you know. But the Lord knows our hearts. And I keep on reminding Him of that because I keep telling Him, Father, you know I don't like thinking this or saying that or doing this or doing that. So thank you for forgiving me. But also forgive me for my inability to remember sometimes that I made this promise or made that promise or I don't want to do this or, you know, I forget that I'm trying to fix this area in my life and stuff. Because, you know, I have a tendency to forget, you know. Everything from the chemtrails to what you eat is going to mess with your mind. But He knows you. He knows your heart. He knows that if you knew for a fact at this moment that what you were doing is wrong, He would have forgiven you because you would have asked for forgiveness because He knows your heart. So, but don't rely on that 100% to the point where, hey, then I ain't got to bother confessing anymore. He knows my heart. No, no, no. If He brings it to your remembrance, there's a reason. You know, confess it and repent. So going on, it says, you will always have erring ones among you, and here is where you can show a Christian character. This is a good way to be tested, by the way. She says, do not push them away from you, but if you have light, seek to let it shine upon them. And in this way, you can help them toward heaven. And still, again, you could do this till you're blue in the face, and sometimes it's just not going to work. And this is why Titus 3:10 comes into play. Eventually, they're just not going to want to hear it from you. Because no matter how gentle and loving you share it, it ain't working. As far as you can see with the fleshly eye. But you planted the seeds that the Lord needed you to plant. Now go, leave, let them on their own. Eventually the Holy Spirit will water those seeds. Let someone else deal with them next. Because He's going to send someone else, you know that, right? He loves them just like he loves you. And so eventually, in other words, you just because you can't get to them doesn't mean that you're useless. No, you did the best you can. And what you did will be blessed. Hopefully, if they got good soil. If not, the blessing comes back on you because his word won't come back to him void anyway. It's just like I used to tell the apostles, go house to house, do this, do that, bless the house. If the house is worthy of the blessing, they'll receive it. If they're not worthy of the blessing, guess what? It comes back to you. So it's a win-win. Get out there and do it. So again, she says, every soul that has the Spirit of Christ will work the works of Christ. And if any see one wandering away from Christ, he will feel as Christ did about the lost sheep. There were 90 and 9 in the fold. But he went out after the one that had strayed away. This is the Spirit we should manifest. As children of God, we should walk in the light. And as we follow in the light, we shall lighten the path of others. Let us cultivate gratitude to God. And then we shall not get our eyes upon little difficulties. It's like Jesus says, some people were gonna, you know, they're gonna strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Or you could say, like in the old days, you know, penny wise and pound foolish. There's a lot of people that'll, as a matter of fact, I was just dealing with a sister in the faith not too long ago. And she's all upset about something that is not even a salvation issue and is literally thinking of never coming back and worshiping with us again because of some little difficulty that has nothing to, and that's how the devil gets you. I mean, this is why they watch you like a hawk. And I remember when I first started walking as a Christian, I noticed this, what are you looking at? You know, this is something, why are they watching me? You know, why are they, you know, asking this and asking that and pointing this and pointing that out, you know, and they want to see you fall so that they feel much better about their walks. And so they're going to look for, and the other toss is they're going to look for any little idiosyncrasy that they can find so as to say, okay, forget it. That's not the church. Get away. I mean, Fran and I, when we left the Catholic Church, we had the opportunity to do that too. But we left when we saw doctrinal problems. I mean, sure, you go to the Baptist churches because that's where we kind of hung out after we left the Catholic Church because the Baptists always had Bibles in their hands. And we didn't want to go to the Pentecostal thing because, well, you know, that's Catholic now, today. So we didn't know back then, but it was obvious going to head in that direction. But the thing is, yeah, the people, everybody's got their own problems, and you can't judge them lest you're going to be judging the same measure that you judge them. I mean, think about it. If they're looking at you and they're looking at your idiosyncrasies or your character flaws that you don't even know about, and now you're looking at their character flaws that they don't even know about, and even if they do and they're trying their best to get around it, what's that to you? Why does that stop you going to that church? Well, it doesn't. But that's what the devil will convince you of, and then you'll stop going to that church. And guess what? When the midnight cry goes forth, guess what? You're not going to have enough oil. You'll have the Holy Spirit, early rain oil, yeah. But it ain't going to be enough. And people go, whoa, 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 what are you talking about? What do you mean? The person's got the Holy Spirit, and they're not going to make it into heaven? Have you ever read the prophecy that's actually a parable about the 10 virgins? They all had the oil, and 5 of them didn't have enough. They had some, but they didn't have enough. And guess what happened when the door was shut? Did they get in? No. They didn't get in, did they? I mean, just use common prophetic sense here. But it's their own fault, because having the oil to begin with, they knew, just like with the ninth hour church, they're going to be held accountable for the truth that was handed to them on a silver platter. They had it. And then they turned their back on it, just like the Jews of old. I mean, think about it. You're walking through the desert, and a couple of weeks ago, the Red Sea split. You saw that with your own eyes. You went through there with the walls of water on both sides. You get to the other side. Pharaoh's men come running through, and of course, you're getting scared. Really? That makes no sense either. But still, okay, they're coming through, and all of a sudden the water drops and kills them all, right? And to this day, they actually found the chariot wheels right there. And that's why in all the Bibles, with the Bible maps, They're specifically got that in the wrong spot. They don't want you to go and check it out. But people have it now. We've got proof where it is, and we found the actual wagon wheels. But I ignore that. But, oh, good, it says unknown. So anyway, the, wait, where was I? Okay, well, here, that was distracting me. That does distract me. So what I will do is unplug it. There. Because it'll send me an email anyway. That's the ministry phone. Okay, well, anyway, getting back, she goes on to say, and although our brothers and sisters may err, shall we err? Of course. We have problems. They have problems. We could see theirs. They could see ours. We help them. They try to help us. Or we try to help them. We try to help us. Or you know what I mean. Oh, yeah, the wagon wheels. Yeah, they're there. but it's really, really sad when you think about how some people will literally walk out of a church that has the fruits, has the understanding, and because of some small issue, like she says here, a little difficulty. But then again, that's how the devil works. He'll get you to look at anything. Because I remember that's how I was years ago before I decided to let go and let God. I was looking for the smallest reason. Anything. I mean, you just give me any reason whatsoever, and I'm going to walk away from it. It's just kind of like Oprah with her theology. One time she heard a preacher say that God was jealous or envious of them or loves you with a jealous love. Totally misunderstanding the context of the meaning, right? That's all she heard was that one little statement, and then bam, Christianity was a joke from that point forward. Or the atheists out there. You know, they take one Bible verse out of context and that's it. It's just ridiculous. Or the drunkard in the gutter. Paul tells Timothy, take a little wine for thy sour stomach. Oh, so I suppose all you guys got sour stomachs now because you're slamming nitrate. Difference is, the wine that Paul was suggesting was unfermented grape juice. What you're drinking is what's causing the ulcers. It's not going to heal them. It's going to make them worse. So, but grape juice actually does help. Just don't overdo it. And yes, Fran, I haven't had grape juice in a while. All right, so I was drinking way too much of that, the grape juice. Okay, let me finish up here. Yeah. So she says, and shall we err? And then she says, we have faults as well as they. And we want compassion as well as they. We should have compassion for one another. And you could sum that all up into two words, golden rule. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yeah, okay, I got faults. And I know you have faults. I see your faults, but I'm not coming up to you and wagging my finger in your face and bouncing it off your nose and yelling and screaming about how you can't handle that. Because you could literally do the exact same thing to me. You know, wag, 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 you know, just yelling at me with your finger in my face. That's not Christianity. That's Catholicism. You know, and then she finishes with Colossians 3:16 that says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Here is the privilege of the Christian. Hope and pray we're blessed.